Encouraging competition is a key component of the latest iteration of Better Buying Power at the Department of Defense. The agency has a new point man to connect with the defense industrial base. Andre Gudgers, Acting Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Manufacturing and Industrial Base Policy, and my guest on Pentagon Solutions today. Mr. Secretary Andre, it's a pleasure to have you in the studio. Thank you very much for joining me. That idea of competition is certainly something that's familiar to everybody who does business or wants to do business with the Department of Defense. How are you and your colleagues working to advance competition in a time of shrinking budgets at DOD? Thank you very much for coming in today.
Well, thank you, Francis, for having me. I think that that's a great question. And competition is a cornerstone for getting a better business deal. And I think most of us agree that the Department of Defense is in constant search of having a better business proposition with our partners, who are the industry companies that make up what we do and what we want to buy. You know, competition isn't new. It's not a new thing. It's something that Undersecretary for Acquisition Technology and Logistics, Frank Kendall, and his predecessor, Dr. Ash Carter, who's coming back as the Secretary of Defense, recognized early on with the efficiency initiatives that started under Dr. Carter that have become part of Better Business, Better Buying Power 1.0, and then its subsequent iterations 2.0 and now 3.0. I mean, competition is something that we expect to receive the benefits of in our personal life, right? You know, if you go out and buy a big screen television with high definition on it this year, and next year you go to the store and you see a much larger television with even higher definition and cool apps on it, and it costs you less, and you say, how did that happen? How can we get that business proposition in Department of Defense? Well, competition is key to allowing that to happen and getting efficiencies and affordability out of the things that you want to purchase. Mm-hmm. And this latest iteration of Better Buying Power carries forward what was done in 1.0 and 2.0 with promoting effective competition, and 3.0 building on the technical innovation and dominance portions of that. I think that those the guidance from the under and the secretary have been great. And what we're trying to do from my office to foster that is first have great customer service and reaching out to industry and communicating with industry, understanding what's needed to allow for the barriers to be reduced and red tape to be cut through. We're looking for faster ways to get things done. We're looking for more innovative ways to get things done. And it's proven to be very successful. And I think about my previous job as a director of small business, the things that we did that were smart in small business that allow for some of our non-traditional smaller companies to participate more effectively in DOD procurements. Mm-hmm. And we did that in the Small Business Innovation Research, SBIR, Rapid Innovation Fund. And now we want to continue that broader into the bigger picture of the defense industrial base.
How does what you did as director of small business inform what you're doing in working with the entire defense industrial base?
You know, another great question. I'm glad you asked. Absolutely. It's a direct correlation. When I became the director of small business, what was attractive to industry was it was the first time in history a director had come from industry. So you had somebody coming into a government job that lived the struggles and the pains, understood them, and would do hopefully implement good, smart public policy that would allow for the smaller and mid-tier companies to participate. Mm-hmm. So my background was good to go in that job. And then the results of that job and the things I've learned there, quite frankly, as an absolute correlation to carry forward since the most innovative part of our industrial base and the largest segment are the smaller and sub-tier suppliers.
Mm-hmm. When you came into the Pentagon from industry, you no doubt had a list of things that you said, well, if I ever had the chance, I'd fix this, things that you experienced. What did you learn about the process that's required to fix this? I'm using air quotes, whatever this happens to be, when you got inside the building and saw it from the policymaker side rather than the policy effectors side?
Yeah. So, yes, coming in and being in a place where you can actually see where the sausage is made. Mm-hmm. Was helpful to me. And the first thing I learned is that it's not always the government's fault. You know, in industry, it's always the government's fault. And when you're the government, you realize it's not all the government's fault. Another thing that was helpful was realizing how hard some of the government folks work. You know, it's a misnomer in industry that government people don't work hard, only people in industry work hard.
Sure.
Those things were not true. But, you know, wanting to look, focusing on something that you want to fix, I thought, absolutely, let's cut through all the red tape that are inhibitors for companies to participate, and let's, you know, pay companies faster. And one of the first things I did, I started in March of 2011, and I'm never going to forget, you know, from a cadre of people in the federal government and out of the federal government, most being out of the federal government, saying, hey, if you can do anything within 2 years, that's fast, particularly in the Department of Defense, because it's a big bureaucracy there. And, you know, started in March of 2011, and by April of 2011, that same year, we had implemented in the Federal Register the ability to pay our small contractors faster. And it was called accelerated payments. And that was a big deal. And you ask yourself, why was that a big deal? Well, we pay companies faster than the terms negotiated in their contracts without them having to do anything. And we solved it with technology and not with people.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it was bringing smart government to life. And
so how do you take a lesson that you learned there in a way to get something done in that period of time and apply it to some of the bigger nuts that you have to crack in other areas? I mean, when you talk about defense industrial base issues, I'm sure you get hammered constantly with people suggesting things, quite adamantly in some cases, that they would like for you to apply that kind of approach to.
Yeah, and we've already started. And you're right, there's no shortage of getting good advice,
mm-hmm.
and I get plenty of it.
I'm sure.
And the thing I like most is that you can never get too much of good advice, actually. So one of the things that I hear often are, you know, restoring the things that America's good at. American ingenuity was at the heart of what we did in World War II. It's how we maintain a strong economy for 50 years during the Cold War and post-Cold War, because we built things, we made things, both in hard and soft environments. And I think our innovative manufacturing institutes that DOD standing up is going to help restore the U.S. competitiveness and our manufacturing capability. And it'd be one of, if fostered properly, would be the finest set of institutes that this world's ever seen.
One of the elements that the Defense Department is really working hard toward is welcoming more vendors into the defense industrial base community. What are the steps that you're taking to do that, to kind of clear the decks, clear the way, to make it easier for companies to show you what they've got and sell to you?
Now, Francis, you know, I am a subscriber to Pavlov's theory, and I'm not sure that more means better.
Uh-huh.
We want the right size. We want the right amount of companies that we can nurture in our defense industrial base. And I think what most of the dialogue you hear, and certainly part of what my vision is to have a modernized, healthy industrial base that are very responsive to the global requirements and needs we have. And so we're looking to make sure we have the right companies and we're doing business with the right set of capabilities that the world has to offer. And hopefully most of those, if not all of them, are coming from many of our domestic suppliers.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, there's a real true march after getting to companies who want to innovate and are helping address some of the warfighters' most urgent needs. At no point in time do I ever want to send our soldiers, sailors, airmen into a fair fight. And I know that I'm responsible for it by being a leader of the industrial base and ensuring that our industrial capacity is one, again, that the finest that we've ever seen. That's my goal. And so I'm doing things to try to stimulate that.
There still is a sense, though, in the base and in companies that aren't currently involved in doing business with the Pentagon, that really the most practical way to do that, even if they have a very innovative solution that will prevent you from sending the members of the military into a fair fight, will give them a distinct advantage. The best way to go about doing that is working through one of the big primes as a sub. I'm not sure that is a fair perception, but that's a perception that exists today. How do you try to go about letting people know that your doors are open, that you want to see the very best that companies have to offer you? It doesn't matter whether they're currently doing business with you or not.
Yeah, I think you do that by setting up an infrastructure that allows and lends itself to hearing the best idea. And we did some, we started doing things differently in small business back in 2011 by making strategic investments with how we put out information. You know, we were not good at telling industry what we want to do. And we improved that. You know, part of my goals were to make industry aware where DOD want to make those investments. And I used to tell all of my peers that if we do that, they will respond. And both, it's not just the large companies that make investments in DOD capabilities. It's small companies make them too if they know where to make them. And so we started posting things on the web and on our web portal, on websites. We started using email blasts to make companies aware of where the Department of Defense want to make long-term investments so that they could structure and organize themselves around that. And as a result of that, we saw something very positive. We saw that, and you know, I'll call out Small Business Innovation Research, in particular SBIR, where we saw industrial base, our non-traditional suppliers, our first-time unique new entrants, rise to above 24%. And we, you know, put out 6 solicitations a year. So I knew every 4 solicitations I turned over the industrial base that participated in SBIR one time.
Mm-hmm.
That's very healthy. That's leading to something that's going to be good over time. And so we started seeding things like that. And I want to, and we're bringing that forward to our non-traditional large suppliers that are located or not located in the East Coast. We're reaching out to the West Coast and the Midwest. We have more outreach events in the Midwest, west of the Mississippi. We're looking to attract folks who think that it's a big daunting thing and the requirements is so heavy that they can't and don't want to, and they don't want to make that investment.
Mm-hmm.
I think there's some smart things in some of the guidance that our undersecretary has put out for us to look at reducing them, and we want to further reduce them. And so we can attract them. I'm starting to see some fruits of that labor. There are companies on the West Coast for the first time contacting us about engaging Department of Defense and bringing technologies that they care about but have a potential DOD application.
We have to take a break, but when we come back, I'd like to continue that theme. And I wonder, as you interact with these companies, what they're telling you, both perception and reality, are the challenges that they're finding in trying to do business with you, with the department as a whole, and what you would like to do about it. That's what we'll talk about when we come back. My guest on Pentagon Solutions today is Andre Gudger. He's the Acting Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Manufacturing and Industrial-Based Policy at DOD. Our conversation continues in just a minute on Federal News Radio. Back on In Depth with Francis Rose on Federal News Radio. My guest on Pentagon Solutions today, Andre Gudger, the Acting Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Manufacturing and Industrial-Based Policy at DOD. We talked a little bit during the commercial break, Andre, about the amount of travel that you do and the amount of outreach that you do. And that fits with what we were talking about at the end of our conversation on the air. As you go out and you talk to folks and they explain to you, here's why I haven't done business with the government so far, or here's why I have tried and I haven't been successful, or here's why I did for a while and now I don't anymore. What are those issues that you hear, any themes that you hear, whether they're accurate or not? And what are you trying to do about the ones that are accurate?
Right. So some of the common themes that are a perception. Government's after my profit.
Mm-hmm.
Government's after my intellectual property. And I put them in the same bucket, but they're very important items to discuss. You know, Department of Defense isn't after profit. In fact, maintaining a healthy industrial base relies on companies that are profitable. We want to do business with companies that are healthy and very profitable so they can make investments and they will be viable and they will be around for a long time. That's what we want. We want long-term relationships with people. On the intellectual property, we've done a lot to address that and more to do, but the government's not interested in taking intellectual property away from companies. In fact, we have a strategic interest to continue to reimburse what we do in IR in R&D. We do that in our SBIR program. The government pays for it, you know, and it's a great thing. Of course, we want to buy it. We want to use it. But that intellectual property belongs to the company.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I go west of the Mississippi and can get that message out, I think it's been well received. And I ask companies all the time for their feedback. Tell me what, give me your ideas of what we can do. What more can we do that make you feel comfortable or break down the, you know, as a myth buster.
Mm-hmm.
And I've received several bits of feedback that were material. And so companies now, and I think especially the smaller companies, are more open to sharing their ideas because they know that's a way to get into the Department of Defense, which goes back to your last question about, you know, the right way to come in through a large prime. And companies, most small companies think that, you know, if I go to a large prime, they'll steal my mm-hmm. idea. And, you know, the reality of it all is, you know, there are things that happen, and there's unfortunate situations, and there's things in the law that help resolve those. But for, you know, generally speaking, and for the most part, there's healthy relationships between large and small industries. It's been good. I think you'll continue to see improvements as the department focuses on getting a better product and bringing affordability into our programs. So I think that the message, the conversation has now shifted. And I've had the pleasure of watching over the last 4 years, the conversation shift. And we're going to a healthy area where I think the industrial base are going to need each other, both traditional and non-traditional suppliers, in order to supply the warfighter what it needs for national security.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm excited about that.
What are the things that that you're doing to make companies more comfortable with the IP issue? I mean, that's something that's been around for a long time. And anytime you're dealing with things that are as technologically complex as not just weapon systems, but any of the other myriad things that the Defense Department uses, IP is a concern. What's helped to mitigate those concerns among the companies that you're talking to?
You know, just making them aware of what's in the regulation and what's in the laws and the rights they have. You know, most companies are not educated in all parts of the FAR. I mean, who is? That's a very big document, you know.
Yeah. And not the most exciting reading that I've ever engaged in, to be fair.
It's next to my bed for my bedtime reading.
Uh-huh.
But awareness is key, and making training and education available, and working with my peers, my partners at DAU and the war colleges on getting that message out and to industry. And I think that has been probably some of the most significant advances with industry, making them feel comfortable about the government's position, and particularly DOD.
You mentioned R&D a few minutes ago, and I hear concerns on an ongoing basis that there's a fine line between companies bringing you innovative solutions to challenges and the companies feeling like in a tight budget time, you expect them to become their R&D wings. How do you get around that, and how do you demonstrate to the companies you can be comfortable making investments in solutions because you'll be able to, you talked about profits, you're going to get your profit if you bring us something that's really good.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's why you see the push for incentives and contracts.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think it's clear we see that industry respond to incentives, and some of our legacy contracts didn't have incentives built into them. And we've gone through many cycles in our attempts for acquisition reform on, you know, picking the right contract type. And that was one of the things that I thought was most profound in Better Buying 2.0, which is, you know, think smart and pick the right contract type. That's how you get off to a good business deal, and that's how you have a great partnership with industry. And I think that you'll continue to see, you know, more of that as we move forward.